This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show. And the phone lines are open if you have a question for Bob, the Master Gardener. So you can give us a call if you'd like at 814-368-9372. Good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Igor.
And what do you have on your mind today?
Something a little different here, Igor, to start with. Because probably a lot of the locals don't know that right now taking place is the Crooktop. And that's old folk music, like not old folk. It's an old-time music festival going on there.
Same difference.
All yeah. Right. And there's a lot of musicians there, a lot of them. But I do volunteer work there because I'm very drawn to the place because I like history and I like plants. And that has a great deal of history there. The place, the family started there in 50s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the trees that they planted are there yet. Right in front of the old house is two very large maples. Maples there that could be around 170 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're still in excellent health, and they're just...
What is the lifespan of a maple? Does anybody know?
Yeah, they do. An estimate that you can get. They can grow up to possibly 300-400 years,
wow.
500 years old. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, an oak tree can grow to 1,000-plus years. All plants do have a lifespan, and the maples isn't extremely long, but it's important to that farm because back in the 1860s, there was sweetness wasn't available, so of course they had to make maple syrup, and at least three of the maple syrup trees are still there existing. So it's kind of neat to look at them, to touch them. That's you're looking at deep history right there for Bradford. So that's enough of that. And that goes on all weekend, the Crooktop Festival there.
And so there's, some live music, you said?
Yes, lots of live music, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it is, I got to look at my little...
Oh, you
sheet
got a
here.
Whole pamphlet
yeah.
there.
I think today there'll be a community dance and then an open old-time jam from 2 to 4. So you might want to stop down, check it out.
Bring a fiddle.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't know. You.
Well, it says a jam. A jam session is where you bring your own thing, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
I just do the volunteer work. I'm not certain on all those
you're not
particulars.
Hip, you're not hip to the music lingo. When you have an open jam, that's like anybody can go down there.
And... Yeah, yeah. Lots of great folks there and good old-time music.
All right. And now, according to the internet, it says it was originally constructed in 1856.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Yep.
And it's on the National Register of Historic Places.
Yes. And the Crooks lived there up till 1976.
Wow, neat.
Yeah. So they had a long, long time at that one farm. Very interesting place. A lot of neat wildlife, a lot of the neat plant material there. It's just a neat place to visit. Also... I had a family member call me, and she had bought some hydrangeas to plant, and then she went on a long extended trip, And so they suffered a great deal because it was through all that hot, dry that we're still having. And so they look like they're dead, but not necessarily. These are the big leaf hydrangeas that she purchased. And I just want to tell people, even when things like that happen in life, you know, where you're gone for 2 weeks and you get home and it looks like your plants are dead, don't give up on them yet. Yeah, all the leaves are brown and shriveled up. And but there still is a chance. Now, they're all potted. And let me say that a lot of potted plants are put in a soil mix that is usually well-drained, not like the ground that you have that can hold moisture for a long period of time. They're very well-drained. Excuse me. And so they can dry out quite quickly. But a lot of plants also have the ability to protect themselves. Probably a lot of us have seen that our birch trees and crabapple trees, lilacs, all that I talked about a couple weeks ago, had dropped their leaves. That's just a way of the plant protecting itself. There's not enough moisture to support all those plants or all those leaves, so they dropped them. And the same thing can happen with that potted plant that you just didn't get to planting yet. It's just in its protection mode most of the time. Now, there is a chance that it did die, but most of the time, there's still life in there. And if you just start to water it, now, not overwater it. You don't want to go from totally dry to soaked, because that can start to cause fungus and mold to grow, and that will kill the plant. So just start to water it a little bit, possibly get it in the ground. If you're still not sure where you're going to plant it, at least dig a hole somewhere and put pot and all in the ground so it is protected from the temperature change and the moisture loss, and you can hold on to that plant. You may be able to keep it to survive and then plant it when you do, when you are ready to plant it. So try that, you know, even though it looks like it's dead. Now, this is just perennials, trees and shrubs, not annuals. Right. If annuals all dry up, well, then they're done for their life. But those perennials, shrubs and trees, don't give up on them yet. You know, there is a chance next year they may look great.
Okay, well, there's hope for us all then.
Yeah,
okay, good.
There is.
Because right. I have a couple plants that did not do well. Somebody gave us a plant, in a potted plant.
Yeah.
And we had it outside and kind of
forgot about it. Sure. Oh, everybody does that. I've done that so many times.
Really? Even you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I figure the plants are like your children, you know? I mean, hey, listen.
But also, you know, you may notice a lot of the fruits, the raspberries, elderberries, peaches, cherries, and so on, not real plentiful this year. And that's not due to anything you did or any insects or so on. It's just was due to all that heat and dryness that we had. Again, the plant has to protect itself.
Okay.
And sometimes it does that by giving off a lot less of a crop 1 year because it takes a tremendous amount out of a plant to produce that fruit. And now the apple trees, that's all altogether different. We had a huge crop of apples last year that expended a lot of energy out of that plant.
Oh, okay.
And others a little later, September maybe.
So I was actually glad to see my mother-in-law's apple tree not producing this year because I want to cut the thing down. I keep saying that every year.
Oh.
It's too close to the house.
Too close to the house,
drops the apples on her roof. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But this year it's behaved.
Yeah.
And that's why.
There's an old saying, you know, the right plant in the right place. And yeah, when they're not in the right place, well, then they have to be taken out.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah. What else is on your mind?
A few little stories, if you don't mind.
It's your show, so go ahead. I don't mind.
always interested me about ancient plants, you know, and there are a lot of ancient plants around here today. One of the ones that really fascinates me is the guantasal tree in South America. And it once relied on the giant sloths. They were 3 tons, 20-foot tall mammal that fed on the guantasal fruit. And, of course, as they would walk away from that tree, they would relieve themselves and deposit those seeds with a little bit of fertilizer. And it could grow there because if the seeds, most trees are like this, if the seeds drop directly down from the tree, they're in the shade of the mother tree, and chances of them sprouting and growing is very, very slim. So nature has always tried to find ways to get the seeds away from the mother tree out into the light where they can grow better. So that tree was starting to go extinct until the cavalry showed up. And the cavalry was the conquistadors. They brought horses with them. Well, just so, and there was no horses at that time in this part of the world. The horses seemed to take a liking to the guantasal tree fruit. So they started feeding on it. And, of course, they would carry it away in their stomachs and then drop it off somewhere away from the mother tree. And so that tree has been able to continue that way. But there are many trees like that. We, in our area, we have locust trees here. The mammoths like to feed on them. They have a lot of thorns on them, huge thorns on the tree, up to 15 feet on the tree. Then there's no thorns. That was their way of protecting themselves from the mammoths. They didn't want the mammoths to eat all the foliage off because the tree needs the foliage to produce enough food to produce a good crop of fruit, which is those long, long bean-like structures.
When you say mammoth, you mean like woolly mammoth?
Yeah, like woolly mammoths.
Wow.
Yeah. And the tree still holds onto those thorns up to that height of 15 feet because that's as far as the mammoth could reach. And then from there on it up, you know, there was no need for thorns. So it's kind of fascinating to see one of those locust trees. If you look real close, even on the trunk, they can have these huge thorns. And up to 15 feet, they'll have the thorns, and then the thorns disappear, but the tree continues to grow because it knows it's safe in that area.
That is so cool.
But there are many, many plants that survived the ice ages, I guess you can say, and relied on the ice age mammals and other creatures that still are around yet today.
Incredible. That's so neat how plants protect themselves in all kinds of different ways.
Yes, in all kinds of different ways. Yes. Yeah. I guess like the oak tree, it protects itself by producing a lot of tannic acid in its foliage that stops a lot of creatures from feeding on it.
The maple tree hasn't figured out how to keep us humans out of it. We like to feed on that syrup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, indeed. That's fascinating too. That all living creatures seem to like sweetness, and the maple tree and the birch tree are really well known for giving off that sweetness in their sap. That doesn't harm the tree, you know. That little bit of sap you're going to take out of that tree. I recommend it. It's pretty neat. I can remember doing it as a kid. We would tap some maple trees and boil them down, you know, and make our own syrup. There's really nothing better than making your own food.
Mm.
Another story I'll go to is the maize. The maize was a very popular thing way back. And this is a 3,000-year-old story of the Minotaur. That was a bullhead on a man's body that had to be fed 7 boys, 7 girls each year. and Theseus of Athena. Let me start again.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So,
tongue-tied.
I thought you were going to talk about maize like corn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No.
I'll talk about that another day. That's a fascinating plant.
So you're talking about what is the Greek mythology?
Greek mythology.
Okay. So the Minotaur.
Yeah, the Minotaur.
You had to feed it 8 boys and 8 girls.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah,
of it.
Every year.
That's great.
Theseus, Athenian, his father, King Aegeus, Theseus offended, or Theseus offered to go to Knossos on the Isle of Crete to enter the maze-like labyrinth of the Minotaur, and he hoped to find the Minotaur and kill him, and then find his way back out of the maze to set his father's country free from King Minos of Crete. So Theseus and 13 others were put on a black ship, they did this every year, to Crete. They were given a party and entertained by King Minos. And there, Theseus caught the eye of the king's daughter, Ariadne. I hope I'm pronouncing some of these close, anyhow.
He lost me already, yeah. So just go ahead and finish.
And he caught her eye, and she offered to help him and gave him a sword and a roll of yarn to mark his way out. And, of course, the rest of the story is that he did make it in there and kill the Minotaur, and that set his father's country free. But in the meantime...
And that has to do with gardening because...
Just a minute. Because, and in the meantime, his father, letting his son go to help set his country free, planted a lot of trees. And people said, "Why, you're an old man, you'll never live to see them grow." And he planted those trees in respect for his son, says, "If my son is killed, these trees will live on and represent my son." And in that way, the life of his son was symbolically continued. So that's one of those things, and we still carry on that, where we plant dedicated trees to loved ones. I have a group of trees in my backyard, one for me, one for my wife, one for my daughter, and one for my father-in-law, too. And I keep them well protected and cared for, and they have grown for, 30 years now, I think it is, or maybe more. So I really appreciate them.
That is a good story at the end because, yeah, I do that too. Memorial plants, you know, to remember pets by, you know, that we've buried in the yard. We put some nice flowers there. And
Boy, they
really took off this year too. It was great. We have some perennials there. And
It's fascinating to me and my wife. Cemeteries, a lot of dedicated trees and shrubs in cemeteries, and some very important and... they have helped carry on the genes of those ancient plants because some of those are quite ancient, you know, even in the cemeteries here in Bradford. There's some very, very old trees and shrubs. And a lot of those genes in those shrubs aren't available anymore. You can't just go to the nursery and buy that exact plant. Because they've been hybridized so many times to make them grow faster, flower, maybe in different colors and so on. And a lot of those ancient genes are now gone to the market. The only way to get them back is through a cutting of a plant that is an ancient plant.
Kind of like interesting because I like dogs. And if you look at how dogs used to look like 100 years ago, certain breeds, the way that they have changed and slowly started to look differently.
Same with plants. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's fascinating to me and could be fascinating to you too, you know, to enjoy those places like Crook Farm. You get to see those old trees. The cemeteries, you get to see those old trees and shrubs. There are groups that even travel the country just to collect old roses. Now, they don't dig up the rose plant. They take a cutting of it to protect those old genes of old plants that have passed that are no longer available to buy. And some of those can be quite fascinating. Maybe like the roses, you know, a lot of those old roses had very nice scents to them. Most of the new roses we buy, you know, they've, through all the hybridizing, have lost that ability to give off that scent. So there are those groups that travel the country and saving those things.
Okay, we have to still do show and tell, so let's take a break. We'll thank our sponsor, Worth W. Smith, and we will be back with more Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles or the frustration of fighting with the rusty chipped cutting edges on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
And welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And we have our Facebook live stream, so check it out. And you can see what Bob has brought in before us here. It's a big old flower on there.
Yes, it is.
What it's you got?
Called a dinner plate hibiscus or a mallow. This is a perennial. Now, there are hibiscus that are real trees, are real shrubs that create woody stems, so they're there all the time. This one will die back to the ground, but it's fascinating because of the size of the flower that it grows, up to 7 inches across in diameter. So it's a real showy one. And also what makes it great is its time of year is now. So it's the one that starts blooming this time of year. Quite often it's hard to get a lot of nice blooms in late summer, but this plant, most of the hibiscus are like that, really start showing off their colors this time of year. So it's a great, great plant. And like I said, this one in particular, come late fall after a frost, it'll die back to the ground. You can just clip off the old stems and it'll regrow next year and produce these big flowers. Comes in other colors too, pink and magenta and red and white. I don't know of any yellow in there, but probably in the future we'll probably develop a yellow one.
Nothing a little spray paint can't take care of.
Yeah, but very nice plant for this time of year because it's now that it likes to show off all its colors, will attract a lot of pollinators too. So great, fascinating plant. That's a hibiscus or rose mallow. Look for that one.
Any special care when they're this size still for the winter to help it survive?
No special care at all. It's an extremely hardy plant. Mm. Yeah, and that's where you want to plant it in as much sun as possible. Well-drained, and this always fascinates me what they recommend, you know, well-drained but moisture-holding soil. That's going to mean, you know, a nice dark soil with lots of compost or peat moss or sawdust, old sawdust, you know, anything that will, once it gets wet, stays wet for a while, but doesn't puddle up to where it can drown the plant. So, a well-drained but moist soil.
Easy does it with the water. That's all.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
don't put it in a pond.
Yeah, don't put it in a pond.
Swamp, yeah.
And don't put it up in a sandy, rocky, dry place because it won't like that at all.
But it does look like full sun.
Yeah, likes full sun. It can take a little bit of shade, but mostly sun. If you get 4 to 6 hours of sun a day, this plant will really like that.
Now, does this expand?
Yeah. It's going to get bigger and a little bit taller. It's going to get 4 to 5 foot tall as it ages and the root system gets bigger and bigger and can store more food. It can support a bigger plant that way. So when you get a young one like this one, this is about all you'll get. But every year it'll get bigger, more leaves, more flowers, taller. So it's a great plant, and you can see it from like a mile away. That's what's neat about it. Yeah.
Now the size that it is now, because it's in like a bucket pot, whatever you call that. How far away when it's this size, still small, away from a building should you have it? Like if I want to put this next to a garage or something.
Oh,
like that,
okay.
Or, you know, like how far away from a structure should it?
At least 3 feet. At least. Yeah. When you get real close to a building with a foundation that's mostly concrete, it tends to leach a lot of lime out of that concrete, and it will forever.
Wow, wow.
And that can affect a lot of plants. So never plant any plant closer than 3 feet. It's even more recommended if you can get out to 4 or 5 feet away from that foundation. And, of course, it's going to give that plant more room to grow above ground and below ground. It gives it more room. When you plant them real close to the house, that stunts their growth.
Yeah. Okay. So three feet at least. That's closer than I thought, actually. So,
oh. Yeah. Yeah, 3 to 5 feet in that area.
Okay.
I prefer that 4 to 5 foot myself. It gives me room that if you do have to do maintenance to the house, you still have room between the house and the plants, and it lets your house breathe a little bit so it doesn't get damp and stay damp and get wood rot. So it's highly recommended that you go around that 4 to 5 feet away from the foundation of your house.
Any final thoughts today?
No.
We're just about out of time.
Yeah. Enjoy all these late summer blooming plants because they're really putting on a show. And I will be next week probably talking about the most famous of fall plants, the mum.
Oh.
Chrysanthemum.
There you go. All right. So we'll be here. It's The Gardening Show. Thank you so much for coming in, Bob.
You're welcome.
And it's sponsored by Worth W. Smith. We'll be back next week right here on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend.